Good morning. It's a joy to be here this morning, and it's a joy to see so many familiar, friendly faces that I met years ago when I came through with choir. This morning we're going to be looking at two texts. We will be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, and James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 16 can be found on page 1191 in your pew Bibles. Second Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Hear now God's holy word. Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as workmen who does no need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. And then James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. This can be found on page 1209 in your pew Bibles. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteress, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scriptures speak to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Let us ask God to bless the preaching and hearing of his word. Our Father in heaven, we again thank you for the great opportunity that we have this morning to come and worship you. Father, we thank you for the great fellowship of believers that you've brought together. Lord, as we open up your word this morning, we ask that you would work in our hearts. We ask that you would convict us in areas where we need to be convicted, in areas where we've sinned. But we also ask that you would encourage us where we might need some encouragement. And Father, we ask in particular that you would guard my mind and my mouth, and that I would only speak your truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. During my first year of seminary at RPTS, I worked as a caregiver in the greater Pittsburgh area for an in-home care agency. And I took care of elderly folks as well as adult disabled individuals. And generally, I liked all of my clients, but there was one couple in particular that I became really attached to. I loved them. They were a joy to spend time with. They were delightful. The husband was 92 years old, and the wife was 87, and they had been married for 67 years. And one of the things that really struck me about this couple was they both had very sweet demeanors. But the other thing that struck me was there was one issue in their marriage that they fought about every Monday through Friday at 4 o'clock p.m. And that one thing was Judge Judy. You see, the husband loved to watch Judge Judy. He would sit and watch her, and as she began berating someone, he would tell me what a fantastic judge she was. The wife, on the other hand, she thought they needed to take their afternoon nap at 4 o'clock p.m. And so every Monday through Friday at 4 o'clock p.m., they would bicker over whether they should take a nap or whether they should watch Judge Judy. And it made me laugh. I mean, I thought it was kind of cute. But the one thing that I often thought was, what a silly thing to fight about. You know, they both had health issues. They both had things going on in their lives. And the one thing that they always fought about was something so insignificant. But isn't that like all of us? All of us are always guilty of fighting over seemingly insignificant things, like who stole the cookie from the cookie jar, or who had the last bit of coffee in the morning, things like that. Sometimes we fight in the church. Sometimes we fight as congregations. Maybe we're getting ready to put new carpet in our sanctuaries. And one group in the church wants to have red carpet to symbolize the blood of Christ, and another group wants brown shag carpet to cover up the stains. And so we begin to fight and quarrel over such insignificant things. But fighting and quarreling is not a new problem for us today, and it's not a new problem for the church. See, there's nothing new under the sun, and there are many examples in the scriptures of men and women that fought and quarreled. I'll just give you a few examples. Lot quarreled with Abraham. Absalom created a war with his father David. The disciples of Jesus argued over who would be greatest. The Corinth Christians were suing one another. And at Philippi, two women were having trouble getting along. And James wrote this section in his epistle to give us wisdom and guidance in how to deal with fighting and quarreling that happens. And Paul wrote this epistle to Timothy in particular to give Timothy wisdom and insight into how to deal with the fighting and quarreling that he saw in the church, but how to deal with it pastorally. And this is really the theme that we're looking at this morning. The theme of our texts are that Christ calls us to refrain from quarreling by humbly submitting ourselves before Him. Christ calls us to refrain from quarreling by humbly submitting ourselves before Him. Now this morning we're going to be looking at the texts and really asking three questions. The first question is, why do we quarrel? What are some of the reasons behind our quarreling? The second question is, why is quarreling a problem? Why is it so bad? And the third question is, what is the solution to quarreling, or what is the cure for conflict? So why do we quarrel with one another? What are some of the reasons why we quarrel? Well, please look at James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 with me. James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. So James tells us this morning that our fights and quarrels are often driven by the pleasures within us. Now, a better translation of this is that our fights and quarrels are driven by the lusts of our hearts. Our fights and quarrels are driven by our idolatrous hearts. They're driven by our sinful desires. Maybe we're jealous. We want what somebody else has. Maybe they have a more beautiful car than we do. Maybe they have a more beautiful house than we do. Maybe someone else is married and we're jealous that we're not. Sometimes we can become jealous because someone has respect that we feel like we're lacking. And so we begin to fight and quarrel with one another. Maybe we want something in a congregational meeting and we're going to make no bones about it. Maybe I'm that one person that wants the brown shag carpet and I'm going to make that the hill that I'm willing to die on. So we begin to fight and quarrel with one another. See, so often our desire is to satisfy our pleasures like power and possessions. And so often that is what makes us fight and quarrel with one another. But you see, the key problem here is selfishness. It's the love of self. Replacing the love for ourself over the love that we have for others. When looking at this text, one commentator says, so often we engage earnestly in contentious disputes which are commonly produced by a foolish desire of being ingenious or being smarter than others. Sometimes we fight and quarrel because we want others to respect us or to think that we're smarter than them. And so we fight and quarrel. See, we fight and quarrel because we have wrong-thinking hearts. And Timothy's situation, men and women were quarreling over words. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Paul tells Timothy, he says, "Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle or quarrel about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of hearers." But how are we guilty of quarreling over words? We're told not to quarrel over words, but how do we quarrel about words? Well, words are important. Words have a meaning. But sometimes people use words differently. And I know in my own experience, I've had conversations with other believers in Christ that use the same words that I would, but then maybe they use them differently. And maybe within the context of what they're saying, I know that what they're saying is exactly what I believe, but they're just maybe saying it differently than I do. And so sometimes the temptation for us is to quarrel about words, to nitpick at the terminology that they're using. We begin to quarrel about words. And sometimes this can be a great temptation, especially for men and women that come into the Reformed faith. They get really excited about Reformed theology. They get really excited about Calvinism, which is a really great thing. But sometimes the temptation is then to become contentious and to almost lay snares over every word. John Calvin said, "There are some who are always armed for fights with the tongue, and who in every question are looking for grounds of quarreling, and who go so far as to lay snares around every word and syllable. But they are carried in the wrong direction by ambition, and sometimes by an almost fatal disease which I have seen in some." So John Calvin experienced this. During his ministry in Geneva, he experienced this notion of fighting and quarreling over words. But friends, one of the greatest reasons why we quarrel is because it's Satan's desire that we would quarrel. Satan is like a roaring lion, and he seeks to cause disorder in God's church. And oftentimes, when the church is beginning to grow the most, it's when the fights and quarrels begin. It's when Satan attacks, because he wants to destroy God's church. Satan is like a roaring lion, and he seeks to cause division among God's people. So we've looked at some of the reasons behind why we quarrel. Some of the reasons why we quarrel. It's because of the sinful desires of our hearts. But why is quarreling such a problem? Why is quarreling a problem for us? Well, quarreling is first a problem because it is not glorifying to God. In Psalm 133, verse 1, it says, "God calls us to live in fellowship with one another." It says, "Surely, brethren, ought to live together in love and harmony." See, God calls us to live together in harmony. God calls us to love one another. In fact, Jesus says, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and all your strength and all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus also says, "People will know that you are my disciples for the love that you have for one another." And so when we engage earnestly in contentious disputes, what does that say about the love that we have for one another? Quarreling is also a problem because it breaks fellowship among believers. Some of you, actually a lot of you probably know Dr. Bob Copeland. I know he was an elder here many years ago. And my undergraduate degree at Geneva was in music. And Dr. Copeland was one of my professors. And about starting my sophomore year, Dr. Copeland began to disciple me. And so we met every week for lunch, one day a week. And so Dr. Copeland and I had a professor-student relationship. We had a relationship as sort of like a mentor-mentee. And we also had a relationship as brothers in Christ. But what if I would have stood up in one of Dr. Copeland's classes and began berating him about something? It would have been incredibly inappropriate. It would have been sinful. And there would have been a number of consequences. Maybe I would have been kicked out of class, or maybe I would have been dismissed from Geneva. See, there could have been academic consequences. But the greater problem, the greater issue would have been that I would have broken fellowship with Dr. Bob. I would have hurt him. I would have damaged our relationship as brothers in Christ. and I would have needed to go to Dr. Copeland and ask for forgiveness. But you see, if I'm at odds with Dr. Copeland, it doesn't just impact the two of us. It impacts the greater Christian church. And sometimes we don't really think about the church as the body of Christ. Sometimes we just think that our actions only hurt ourselves or only hurt maybe one other person, that it really impacts the entirety of the body of Christ. What if I was at odds with Dr. Copeland and others began to get involved? Maybe they began gossiping about it. Oh, did you hear that Dr. Copeland and Jordan are fighting? Or maybe others get involved and try to help the situation, and then arrows begin to fly. And it causes pain in the body of Christ. You see, the body of Christ is made up of each one of us, and each one of us have gifts and abilities that the Lord uses to build up the greater body. And when one part of the body is in pain, the rest of the body hurts with them. A few months ago, my good friend Patrick had a toothache. In fact, it wasn't just a toothache, it was actually a dental abscess. And it caused a multitude of pain. But Patrick's a big guy, and his tooth is a relatively small member of his body, but that abscess caused a great multitude of pain as his face began to swell. He developed a fever. He was in agonizing pain overnight. He couldn't sleep, he couldn't get comfortable, he couldn't come to class. All because of such a small member of the body. You see, friends, like that, each one of us are part of the body of Christ. And when one part of the body hurts, the rest of the body hurts. Paul tells Timothy quarreling is a problem because it ruins the hearers. He says, remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle or quarrel about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of hearers. It hurts the hearers. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean for a hearer to be hurt? Now, a better translation of this is that our fights and quarrels destroy the listener. They actually destroy the listener. But what about new converts? What if a new convert has come into one of our congregations and they're a new creature in Christ? The old has passed away, the new has come. But then they start to see fighting and quarreling erupted in their congregations. It could discourage them and cause them to question their faith. Mature believers can be discouraged by fighting and quarreling in the church. It can cause them to leave the church. And oftentimes, elderly saints are deeply grieved when they see younger men and women that they've watched grow up in the church fight and quarrel. But friends, one of the most sobering effects of fighting and quarreling is that it brings shame upon Christ and His church. Think of the impact that our fights and quarrels have on unbelievers in the community that look upon us. Sometimes when unbelievers look upon us and see us fight and quarrel, they say, if this is how Christians act, then I want nothing to do with them. This past weekend, I went home to central Pennsylvania to spend Memorial Day with my family. And a church in our community, which is a solid Bible-believing church, they've been actually dealing with a lot of fighting and quarreling recently over a building issue. See, the congregation's grown and they need a larger space, and so they looked into buying a 10-acre property to build something new. And everybody was on board until one of the elders said, the only issue is that the property floods, but it's okay because it's only like 3/4 of the property that floods. And so now there's this problem. What do we do? Do we build a new building or do we add on to the old one? And so half of the church wants to add an addition onto the current building, which would cover up the parking lot. And the other half of the congregation wants to build on this property that floods. And so they're fighting and quarreling. And I'd actually heard about this a couple of months ago, but what was really heartbreaking was when a friend from our community that I've known my whole life, who is not a believer, was sharing with me over Memorial Day the fighting and quarreling that this church is going through and how that's an example of why he wants nothing to do with Christians. And it was really heartbreaking to hear that. See, when we fight and quarrel, it brings shame upon Christ and His church. So we've asked the question, what are the reasons why we fight and quarrel? And we've asked, why is quarreling a problem? And now we're going to ask, what is the solution? What is the cure for conflict? Well, brothers and sisters, conflict must be fixed first in our hearts. Remember, our hearts are filled with sinful desires. So as James tells us, we must submit ourselves to God in humility. Please look at James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10 with me. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. James tells us to submit ourselves before the Lord. Submit ourselves to God in humility. And submission is saying, not my will be done, O Lord, but thy will be done. When somebody is attempting to engage in a contentious dispute with us, the easy thing to do is to fight back. The easy thing to do is to come out of the corner with both arms swinging. But the harder, but the right thing to do, the thing that God calls us to do, is to submit to Him and not engage in such behavior. But you see, this isn't just an outward action. See, sometimes it's easy to do the right things outwardly, when in our hearts they're far from the Lord. Sometimes we just do the right thing outwardly because we think others are watching and we want to make a good impression. You see, it is possible to submit ourselves outwardly and not be humble inwardly. But a true mourning of our sins is how we can humble ourselves before the Lord. James tells us, he says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. But how do we do this? How do we draw near to God? Well, as James tells us, he says, cleanse your hands. That is, ask for forgiveness of our sins. Lay our sins at the foot of the cross. He says, purify your hearts. That is, be single-minded in our devotion to God. And don't think about how we can feed our own sinful desires, but only do that which God has commanded in His Word. In the context of Paul's letter to Timothy, right before he starts verse 14, Paul has just again proclaimed the gospel to Timothy, and he starts by saying, remind them of these things. Look to Christ. Paul tells Timothy, look to Christ, remember the gospel, and study the Word of God that you may find yourselves approved by Him. As James tells us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Remember, Satan's like a roaring lion, and he is behind every quarrel that we might have. As Proverbs 20, verse 3 tells us, it is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. Now, some of you might be thinking, how can I possibly show restraint? This is all well and good. I know I shouldn't quarrel, but how do I practically not engage in such behavior? Well, friends, I want to remind you that God always, always extends more grace to us. I want you to look one more time at James chapter 4, verse 6 with me. James says, but He gives a greater grace. God gives a greater grace. Some theologians actually translate this text as, but God gives more grace. But God gives more grace. And I don't know about you, but I find the phrase, but God, one of the most humbling and precious phrases in all the Scriptures. You see, each one of us were born dead in our sin, unable to even think about calling out to God. But God in His mercy sent His Son to come to earth and live as a man. And Jesus, God the Son, He lived a perfect life. And yet He willingly died on the cross so that each one of us could be forgiven of our sins. And each one of us this morning has gone astray. Each one of us has sinned and fallen short the glory of God. Each one of us this morning is guilty of fighting and quarreling with others. But God in His mercy has sent His Holy Spirit to bring us to a realization of our sin. God has sent His Holy Spirit to work faith in our hearts and to bring us to repentance. And we weren't worthy of forgiveness, but God has given it anyway. And of ourselves, we're unable to do good. And of ourselves, we're unable to refrain from quarreling. But God sends His Holy Spirit to sanctify us and to cause us to grow in holiness. And the sanctification process, it takes time. We will continue to sin in this life. But God always, always extends more grace to us. There will be times when we're led by the sinful desires of our hearts to quarrel with one another, to fight and quarrel. And in those times, we may be overcome with grief over our sinfulness. We must remember that God always, always extends more grace. We must remember that His grace is sufficient and His mercy is new each morning. Friends, Paul and James really get to the heart of the issue of quarreling in their epistles this morning. As they point out, fighting and quarreling will continue in the church until Christ returns. But then they give us instruction how we ought to refrain in engaging in such behavior. When we're tempted to fight and quarrel, we ought to remember to humble ourselves before God, to resist the devil, and to remember the gospel. But when we fail, when we fall, when we sin, when we engage in contentious disputes, let us never forget that God always, always extends more grace to us. Remember, His grace is sufficient, and His mercy is new each morning. Therefore, friends, when you are tempted to quarrel with one another, remember that Christ calls us to refrain from quarreling by humbly submitting ourselves before Him. Christ calls us to refrain from quarreling by humbly submitting ourselves before Him. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word that You've given to us. Father, we thank You for the way that Your Word convicts us and brings us to a realization of our sin. Lord, we ask that You would be working in our hearts, that You would be giving us the strength to not engage in contentious disputes. But instead, Lord, we ask that by the power of Your Spirit, You would enable us more and more every day to humbly walk with You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.